We're almost there. The wise men or the magi have had a long way to come. And so we've got one here, and we've got one over there, and there's one still coming. So they're still arriving. So that's why we're starting a little bit later than usual. It is so good to see all of you. Lots of people who've not been with us here before, which is a great blessing. So whatever you see today is unfortunately normal. Last week we said at the beginning of the service, who's all over the place? Because I felt a bit all over the place. Unfortunately everybody else put their hand up. And then in the evening we had great fun in the carol service where the organ just went boom midway as the string broke. So we had great fun in the evening as well. Today, a whole lot of people dressed up in costumes and strange feet. What could possibly go wrong today? Rod, you look wonderful. Don't. It's really good, isn't it? Somebody new comes to the church, and what do? You put them in a strange costume. Perfect. Aren't you all really pleased that we already had three magi before you came in? I know Graham is really grateful, because otherwise you were lined up for next. My name's Stephen, I'm the minister of the church here, this crazy place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to come and celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that for some, this is a really difficult day. For some, they're not here because it would be too difficult to be here, too sad with those who are no longer with us on earth. Painful memories. But we also know that it is our spiritual discipline to celebrate and rejoice in the birthday that has given us salvation for eternity. So Lord, help us to have tears and smiles, to be still as well as to be loud and noisy. Come Holy Spirit, show us Jesus today, we pray, amen. You'll be pleased to know, no notices apart from we have a midnight service tonight at 11:30, an exciting time when we'll be focusing on delivering the gift. Our theme this year is Jesus, the greatest gift. And tonight we're thinking about delivering the gift. And then tomorrow morning at 10:30, we'll be unwrapping the gift. So that's going to be great fun. And right now, we've got celebrating the gift. That's what we're doing. Now, we've got here our Advent candle. I've already lit three of the candles here today. God chose a very interesting and unusual collection of people to celebrate the gift in advance of his birth. He chose patriarchs. It's one of the candles of the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and his son Jacob, who became Israel. When Abraham was 100 and Sarah 90, they had a baby boy. That was cause of great celebration, as you can imagine. Sarah celebrated this birth of this baby, the son of the promise, through whom a descendant called Jesus would come one day. She celebrated it with great laughter. She laughed so much, she decided to name her son Isaac, which means he laughs. So, then we had the prophets, and they foretold the coming of Jesus as Savior of the world. They celebrated his coming from a distance, and they foretold a time of great celebration when he would arrive. And one of them said this: the people walk in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. When Jesus came, it was a time of great rejoicing. Same at harvest time when you got lots of wine, lots of food. Christmas time, is a time of celebration. As in when you have plenty of food and drink. And I imagine a lot of us in our homes have got plenty of food and drink. Not everybody. And then the third one was for who? This is the test for those who normally come on a Sunday. John the Baptist, the voice who prepared the way for the Lord. He was so delighted to hear Mary's voice calling out to his mother Elizabeth that he leapt in her womb. He leapt for joy when he was just 6 months after conception. 3 months before even being born, John the Baptist celebrated the arrival of Jesus. And then lastly, we come to Mary, a young girl, 12 or 13 years old, chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. And Connie is going to read us what the Bible tells us about Mary being chosen.
In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive the birth of a son to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over David's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth will relate to you having a child in her own age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word of God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be me fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you so much, Connie. That was wonderful. Excellent. Connie, would you like to light a candle for me? Would you like to come up? Come on up. Alice. Alice and Connie, come up. Come on up. You do this together. I know you did this before. Could you grab hold of the light from one of those? And then, Connie, come round here. And you can stand and guide it, because it's not easy. Just tell it, hold the hand. That's right, you got it. Well done. That's it, I think it's done. Wonderful. And blow. Teamwork. Round of applause, please, for our blowers. So what happened next? Today is all about the true story. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." As soon as Elizabeth, prompted by her unborn son John, said these words to Mary, Mary, in turn, inspired by the Holy Spirit, spoke out a song of praise, celebrating God's goodness, mercy, and grace. You can read it in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to sing it now in our first song today. So the song inspired by her wonderful words given by the Holy Spirit. And it's "Tell Out My Soul."
Thank you.
Jesus' birth is celebrated by so many people over thousands of years before it even happens, what's it going to be like when he does actually arrive on earth? Let's find out. Now, question for you. Who was the first to celebrate the birth of Jesus? Who was the first? Any ideas? Put your hand up. Shepherds over there. Anybody else? Who's the first to celebrate the birth of Jesus? Who? Mary. We don't think about that, do we? Andrew.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you. So, Mary, Joseph, and their donkey. Come forward, donkey. Would you like to come up, Mary and Joseph? No problem. Mary, could you take a long journey round, please? Long round the church that way, and take your time to come back. First people to celebrate the birth of Jesus was his parents. Mary. Excellent. You can do that again. I don't think Mary would have felt like going. She's going. We don't know how they celebrated. We don't know whether they told anybody else in the house where they were staying. But Jesus was her firstborn, and every child's birth is to be celebrated. They didn't know what was going to happen next, and they didn't know what was going to become of their child, what would become of them. But they celebrated his birth as a beautiful gift from God. I went to see their Zeb's little brother, Matthew, just after he was born. And you just can't help but give him a kiss, can you? Feel free to kiss your baby, Zeb. It's up to you how much into the part you want to get. And someone once described our worship as kissing God. A very intimate expression, but actually I think it's true. So we're going to stay seated for our next two songs. Just to take this moment, because this moment of celebration is a quiet moment. So I'm going to sing Away in a Manger and Silent Night. when Jesus was born, it wouldn't have been silent. Far from it. The silence of that night is really about the silence of mystery and wonder. Despite the noise of the birth and the animals and the huge number of people in the city, and whatever noise is going on in this place here, you can hear the noise of children, which is wonderful. And this is Ben at the back, who's a visitor for us today, which is so good to have him here. This is a place, yeah, that's Ben, that's Zali. That's exactly you, Ray. And so this is silent night, but it's not silence and absence of noise. It's peace and beauty. Silent night. Thank you, Lacey. So now, while we have the family having celebrated in the room where the animals were, we now have some other people to celebrate. So, I need shepherds. I've got a couple of shepherds. Excellent. Would you like to come up, shepherds, and make your way to the front here? Andrew is going to read us what happens next in a moment, but there's one thing missing. Two shepherds. Who's the sheep? Come on. Bah, come on, listen. Come on, come on. This is your flock. They're watching over. Come on, come on. Oh, that's very good. Are they good sheep? Excellent. Okay, that's enough. Don't overact your part. Andrew, please.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be assigned to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, we have the angels have appeared. Andrew, carry on if you would.
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
Now, hold on a moment. This is nowhere near enough angels. Because there was a heavenly host. There was thousands upon thousands. So you've worshipped, but you're now angels. Some of you might prefer to be angels than sheep. So, Liz and Debbie, could you read half a line and get them to repeat it after you? Because we're all going to join in this now, right? So let's do it really loud. Go for it.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
And on earth peace.
And on earth peace.
To those on whom his favour rests.
To those on whom his favour rests. And do it again. Come on, more enthusiasm, please.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
And on earth peace.
And on earth peace.
To those on whom his favour rests.
To those on whom his favour rests. Thank you. Angels, please disappear now. Thank you. We hear about the northern lights, the amazing spectacle in the sky of different coloured lights, but this was something else, a heavenly light and music show like there has never been before or since. Thousands and thousands and thousands of angels praising God at the top of their voice. So we've had celebration by the parents, celebration by the angels. Now, it's the shepherds' turn to celebrate. They're all a bit dumbfounded at the moment. You can see they're all a bit, what is happening? I'm in the right costume, but I don't know what I've got to do. So they've got a bit of a shock seeing angels. Angels haven't been seen for hundreds of years. We've got no record in the Bible of angels having been seen. So the shepherds were a bit stunned. But now they've decided they want to join in the celebrations. This was their saviour, Andrew.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. Now, shepherds, subject of costume, could you hurry off to Bethlehem, please? Which involves going round the church and coming back here. Don't leave your other shepherd behind.
Thank you.
Have a good look at the baby, shepherds. Have a good look at the baby. Because you were told that this is the Saviour. This is Christ the Lord. Which is a bit confusing, really, because it's a baby. Let's just take a moment. Okay, shepherds, you can go enthusiastically back to your seats there. And feel free to talk to people on your way. Would you like to take a break for a moment and sit in the front row, Mary and Joseph? Take baby Jesus with you, if you might. Just the baby. Thank you. You can see that Zeb is expert in how to pick up a baby. Let's join in the celebration that the shepherds, who were just telling everybody about what had happened, let's stand and sing, if we're able to stand, while shepherds watched. Takes us into the place of Jesus' birth. See him lying on a bed of straw.
Amen.
Thank you for your enthusiastic baaing and your enthusiastic angeling. And we have that mixture of quietness and noise in the Christmas celebrations. So the question is, who celebrated Jesus next? Ideas. Who's next? Wise men? Anybody else? Who?
Kings.
No, not the kings. Not the wise men. The next two people. Would you come forward now, please, and take your seats on the front row, please? As they come up, who's this? Who's this strange pair? Who's this? Who? No, can you sit down there, please, Jackie? Yeah, not yet. Wait for the moment. This is what happened next in terms of the celebration. This is Simeon and Anna. Under the law, Leviticus chapter 12, you can read it. 6 weeks after a baby boy is born, a mother must offer a sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem for her purification. And so that's where Mary and Joseph came, when they were met by the next people that God had chosen to celebrate his greatest gift. We have a great illustration of this today, because the age Jesus was when these events happened is the age that Matthew is right now. Matthew in the pram right now, at the age of 5.5-6 weeks, that's exactly the age that Jesus was when these next things happen. So Andrew's going to tell us.
When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons.
Can I pause you right there? So could we have Mary and Joseph? Just Mary and Joseph. Would you like to come forward with your baby? This is, come up to the front. Imagine this is the temple. And so we can see you. Just stay just there. That'll be fine. Carry on, Andrew. Thank you.
Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying,
"Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel."
Thank you. Andrew, thank you.
There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher, as she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Feel free to give the baby, Jackie. I know it's not the real thing. Matthew's down there. Thank you. You better give her back to Mum now. Jackie? Oh, sorry. Simeon and Anna, could you return, please? You feel free to tell everybody about it as you go. Simeon is celebrating the arrival of the one he's been waiting for, the Lord's Messiah. After all this time, he's here. No wonder he was so delighted. He could now die in peace. This is nothing personal, Mark, at all. He could now die in peace, knowing that God was indeed going to save all the people of the world, Jews and Gentiles. Anna has been worshipping and waiting for decades, 60 years or more, for this moment. And so she tells everyone who's been hoping that God would act to redeem and rescue them, that this baby is the means by which God is going to do it. Their long wait is nearly over. Those who've been seeking have found. Those for whom they've been waiting so long have now seen with their eyes the salvation that God has prepared in an ordinary couple with an ordinary baby, so you would think. Do have a seat here. So who's the next one? Who's the next people to celebrate the arrival of Jesus? At long last, it's not the kings. They weren't kings, but we call them kings, but they're not kings. They were magi. Magi. Sometime, and we don't know how long it was, they're now in a house, Joseph and Mary, and they're settled. We don't know how long it's been, but it has to be at least 6 weeks after the baby was born. They receive a visit from a most unlikely and strange group of people. These are called magi, stargazers, astrologers and astronomers, all rolled into one. They have come from the east, perhaps Iran or Iraq, we don't know. But God has revealed to these strange people a new star in the heavens. And that star means that a new king of the Jews has been born. And they want to come and celebrate the arrival of this king. Andrew's going to tell us how it happened.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child was his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you. Could we have our strange magi, please? And could you wander around, please? You're not coming here yet. I want you to have a good wander around, join together as a threesome. Perhaps go out into the Crosslink Centre or something. Just go out to the Crosslink Centre and come back. Because it's a long way you've come. It's not just a quick walk down to Bethlehem. We don't know how long it was before they got to Bethlehem that the star appeared, but we do know it was a long journey. And they came, as we've heard, they came to Jerusalem first, and then, having been told by King Herod and the teachers that actually they needed to go to Bethlehem, here they come, coming to see the baby Jesus. Would you like to bow as much as you are able to, please? And could you present your gifts, please? Thank you, Magi. You've come a long way, and your visit is much appreciated. Just stay there just a moment. They were devoted to him. They'd come a long, long way. And they gave out of the treasure. They brought lots of treasures with them. And they selected these gifts. Can anybody tell me what the gifts were? Gold. Frankincense. And myrrh. Gold is for a king. Frankincense is to show that this king is God. Emmanuel, God with us. And myrrh is for death and burial. To show what sort of saviour Jesus was going to be. Not to win a battle with armies, but to give his life. Thank you very much, Magi. Your journey is appreciated. We're going to sing about your journey now in We Three Kings of Orientar.
Travel afar, there's a mountain more and mountain more.
So there's the invitation to come and join the celebration. There's a new king born today. That's the theme of today, is celebration. Four instruments here if you want. Question. Who didn't celebrate the birth of Jesus? Oh, you all know the answer to that one. Excuse me. King Herod. If there's a new king of the Jews, what's going to happen to me? Because I'm king of the Jews. This baby is a threat. The religious leaders thought exactly the same. They had power and control over the people because Herod, their friend, was king. This baby is a threat. This tiny little baby that doesn't look very much is a threat. They could have gone to see Jesus just a few miles down the road. Bethlehem is very close to Jerusalem. It's as close as here to Brixham. No, it's just down the road. But they didn't go. They didn't want to worship him. They wanted to get rid of him. And today, kings, presidents, governments, armies, religious authorities, religious leaders, do exactly the same. They don't want to worship Jesus. They want to get rid of him. And they want to get rid of those who follow him. I've got one more question to ask you in a moment. But before we do that, let's spend a moment just to pray for those today who are being persecuted because they worship Jesus and those in authority don't want them to. Let's pray for them. One or two want to pray out loud so we can say amen. That would be great.
Father, for those today who suffer for their faith in you, through faith in the Lord Jesus, we pray. We pray. pray with love for them, and we beseech you to send your Holy Spirit afresh into their hearts, and by angels and visions and dreams, come into their presence and enable them in the solitariness of persecution to know the joy of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we can think of people who have suffered as churches have been targeted in India, in Philippines, in Nigeria, in Iraq, where the Magi came from, probably in Iran. There are so many countries, so many parts of the world, where those who seek to bow down to the King of the Jews are persecuted. Even today, in Bethlehem, there is conflict, there is death, there is suffering in the land of Israel. Lord, we pray that you will strengthen your people, that they will not stop worshipping and not stop telling others about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, last question. Will you celebrate the birth of Jesus, the greatest gift? We've heard about all these other people and angels who celebrated, but each of us are invited to celebrate the greatest gift. I wonder what your celebration might be. Some of you, it might be quiet, thoughtful. I don't quite know what's going on, but I know something special is happening. Like Mary and Joseph. They were just bowled over by all that had happened. And they pondered and treasured these things. In the fun and games of today, the truth of today, ponder these words in your heart. Some of you might be loud and excitable, like the angels and the shepherds. In which case, do it. Somebody once told me when I tried to be the strong, silent type, oh, don't bother with that. God gave you a big mouth, just use it for the right things. So anybody like me who's got a big mouth, you got a few of you. Well, thank you. I'm not my own. We could tell others. We found the Saviour, the Christ, the one who gives peace, the one who comforts those who mourn, the one who gives eternal life and gives us the hope that those of us who've lost loved ones, they are in heaven. I wonder about Simeon and Anna. In their own way, enthusiastic. Appropriate to their age. They didn't go running everywhere, but they didn't stop telling people. I imagine Simeon, till the day he died, said, I've seen him. And we don't know how many years Anna lived for in the temple, but she kept on telling everybody. And as I'm looking at some 80-year-olds and 70-year-olds, keep going. Because you're not waiting for him to come here. You've known him. Keep going. Don't stop now. Calmly and serenely. People now need to know that you know. I know there's many in this church who don't believe that Jesus is God. They know Jesus is God. And then you've got the Magi, these strange people. Thank you so much, by the way, for all the people who dressed up. Can we just give a round of applause to all our... And thanks to Richard, who didn't need to dress up, but did anyway, who organised all the costumes. Thank you so much, Richard. They had to keep going. They faced a tricky conversation with King Herod. They had to run for their lives because they would have been in trouble. We may be going through all sorts of stuff with family, with neighbours, with jobs, with all sorts of things may be going on. But by God's help, we can keep going. We can keep going. Give him your all. The Magi gave the best of what they had. And everybody else did too. I'm going to say a prayer, then we've got our two songs to finish with. Jesus, you are the greatest gift there ever has been and ever could be. God with us. Thank you for your love that you came to us here, that we might believe in you as Saviour and Lord, that we might worship you and be comforted by you. We might bring you our needs and we might bring you our bodies as living sacrifices to serve you. Lord, we pray that you will show us again who you are and help us to worship you with our whole heart. For those of us here who don't yet know you, ponder on these things. Read God's word for yourself. And Lord, my prayer is that you will open people's eyes and hearts this Christmas to see you who they've never seen before. Amen. We'll take up our offering. I've got two reminders, so kind of you ladies. We'll take up our offering. If you've come prepared to give to the offering, this is that God's word will go out into Peyton and beyond. If our visitors, we just want you, so we're not after your money. This is for our regular members of the congregation. If you want to give something to God's work, feel free. Girls, off you go. If you want to collect it, that'd be great. Thank you. Everything that you've given to us. We have breath, we have life. We thank you for the material blessings you give us, the food and drink, the shelter, the clothes that we're in. We thank you for money that you've given us, that we could buy things that we need and give to others. And now, Lord, we give you these offerings, a token of our giving ourselves to you. Again this Christmas, we pray that you would multiply these gifts, that many more would come to know the love of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing In the Bleak Midwinter, which has that wonderful verse talking about what can I give him. It's a good question to ask. And then one more song after that to finish. Thank you. let's just take that moment of final quiet before the noise of buzz continues. Just take that moment to give Jesus your heart. There are no words to do that. It's our spirit within us. Let's sing our final song, Christmas, It's Christmas. And may he bless you with the Holy Spirit, filling you with hope and expectation of all that is to come in the future, secure in him. Amen.